to see these idols for what they are. We pray that your Holy Spirit would break down these idols in our lives so we can truly experience the peace that comes from trusting you. And Lord, we also invite your Holy Spirit to come into our hearts as we anticipate communion next week. We pray, Lord, that it would be a time of revitalization and blessing and being reminded of who you are and what you want to do in our lives. We want to see you work, Lord Jesus. And we thank you for working in us and through us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. This morning, we have the privilege of welcoming to the pulpit Bob Arbogast. Bob is the pastor of Celebration Fellowship, CRC, which is a multi-site congregation that works in various prison facilities in Ionia. And we have the privilege of allowing him to share God's word with us this morning. Please join me in welcoming him this morning.
I guess that was the heat that just came on. I thought that at the mention of my name that the heavens were starting to rumble or something like that. It is a pleasure to be with you today, and I want to bring greetings to you from the 170 or so inside members of Celebration Fellowship. Those are inmates at three of the state prison facilities in Ionia. And I also want to bring greetings from the 70 or so outside members, as we call them, and they are members of other churches in the West Michigan area who also are regularly involved in the work of Celebration Fellowship. Having said that, my greatest pleasure this morning is to share the Word of God with you. And before listening to the reading and proclamation of the Word, let's pray for God's blessing. O gracious Lord, we humble ourselves before you and before your holy word. Would you grant us listening ears, open hearts, attentive minds, waiting spirits, and eager wills to embrace all that you have to say to us today? And grant that our lives may be shaped by what we hear for your glory. Amen. There are two readings from Scripture this morning. The first is from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, a little bit in chapter 4 and an even littler bit from chapter 5. This is Ephesians 4, beginning at verse 25. Each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. In your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you are still angry, and do not give the devil a foothold. Anyone who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, and anger, brawling, and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Follow God's example, therefore, as dearly loved children, and walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. And then a reading from the Gospel according to John in the sixth chapter, verse 35, and then the verses 41 through 51. Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." End of verse 41. At this, the Jews there began to grumble about him, and because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They said, "Is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I came down from heaven'?" "Stop grumbling among yourselves," Jesus answered. "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them, and I will raise them up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, they will all be taught by God. Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me. No one has seen the Father except the one who is from God. Only he has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, the one who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, yet they died. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which anyone may eat and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats this bread will live forever. This bread is my flesh, which I give for the life of the world." This is the word of the Lord. I heard Tom mention that next Sunday you will be celebrating Holy Communion. Well, let's pretend that we're an old-fashioned Christian Reformed church, and this morning you'll be hearing a preparatory sermon. Now, I guess I'm going to start with a little bit of self-revelation, and you'll get a better idea of who I am when I tell you a little bit about myself. And it's just one thing that I want to mention, and that's that by nature, I tend to be a cynic. Jesus has been working on me for a long time now, but I haven't shed my old skin, not completely. So I'm still a cynic. Now, sometimes my cynicism is based on suspicions more than it's based on facts. And I'll give you an example. Have you ever noticed that communion tables almost always have words on them? Apparently, we don't trust the table itself to convey its own message, so we help it along with words. Now, don't get me wrong. They're good words, holy words even. "This do in remembrance of me." But the table doesn't need those words. So, in my cynicism, I figured that once upon a time, some marketing pro came up with a way to exploit Protestant leanings by designing and selling communion tables with those holy words carved into the front edge. "This do in remembrance of me." And judging by the tables I've seen, and you've probably seen in church after church, the idea took off. So the innovation turned out to be a real moneymaker for somebody. That was my cynical conclusion. Well, imagine my surprise some years ago when I visited the Maltz Museum of Jewish Heritage in Cleveland. The featured exhibit was a display of artifacts from churches and synagogues of the Byzantine era. There were pulpits and bimas, candelabras, and menorahs, And each type of artifact, Jewish or Christian, looked like it had been made in the same workshop. The only difference was that some pieces were marked with the Star of David, while similar pieces were marked with a cross. Then there was the table, and it had words carved into the front edge. My beautiful cynicism was refuted. I had been wrong. Holy words on the holy table were not some recent marketing scheme. They were an ancient and venerable tradition. How could I have been so cynical? When I turned to read the explanatory placard, I saw a translation of the holy words. It said, "This table is the gift of Deacon so-and-so." Okay, so the words weren't so holy. But on the bright side, my cynicism was vindicated. Now, all this is a long way towards telling you another story about another visit. This time to a church instead of a museum, this time in San Francisco instead of in Cleveland. On a trip to San Francisco about 5 years ago, I decided to pay a Sunday morning visit to St. Gregory Episcopal Church. As we gathered for worship, I saw the communion table. It had words carved into it, good words, holy words. But nothing a church furniture company would try to sell. Originally, the words had been said by some Pharisees. They were words about Jesus, and they were not intended as a compliment. But as is sometimes the case, these words were filled with unexpected truth and grace. What did those Pharisees say? They said, "This guy welcomes sinners and he eats with them." That's Luke 15, verse 2. Well, finding those words on a communion table expands their meaning, doesn't it? Suddenly we hear those words in a new way. And just as suddenly, we see Holy Communion in a new way, a more generous way. Not as a meal for those who have picked up their rooms and remembered to recycle. Not as a meal for those who have shed their old skin completely. But as a meal for everyone who has been drawn to the Lord. It's wonderful what Jesus says in today's gospel. First, he says, "No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws them." And that can sound pretty exclusive. No one can come to me unless. But the next thing you know, Jesus broadens it out and makes it very inclusive. He says, "Everyone who has heard the Father and learned from him comes to me." So there is at rock bottom a generosity at work in the gospel. The arms that are opened on the cross are opened as wide as the world. Now, Paul the Apostle knew that very well, because he knew what sort of people were being gathered into the church. I wonder if you hear today's epistle reading the way I hear it. You see, these days my hearing has been affected by the people I spend a lot of time with, people who have been locked up by the state of Michigan. Like all of you, when I listen to the gospel, I listen for good news. These days, I listen for good news for my church, good news for convicted felons in the Ionia prisons. And I have to tell you, good news is everywhere. Now, I've been speaking in a number of churches lately, and one point I try to make is that the church on the inside is the same as the church on the outside. In the prison church, we study, we sing, we pray, we preach, we baptize, we break bread. In all the ways that matter, we are just like you. And so we are one family with you, which means you have brothers behind bars. You have family in prison. But as I said, my hearing has been affected. And when I listen to Paul speaking to the Ephesians, I can hear him talking directly to the members of my church. Listen to what he says. He says, "Stop your lying, stop your rage, stop your stealing, stop your spite, stop your violence." Notice, he does not say, "Don't lie," or "Don't steal," to people who might conceivably be tempted to engage in those bad behaviors. No, he's telling people who do those things to stop doing those things. In other words, he's talking to all the guys in my church. He's telling them to change their ways. And here is some of that good news. The guys in my church, they are changing their ways. And it's no wonder. Did you notice what Paul says right in the middle of today's epistle reading? He says, "Do not grieve the Holy Spirit, with whom you were sealed for the day of redemption." The Spirit with whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. Now take that with all the rest, and he's saying, stop with the bad behaviors, the kind of behaviors that could land you in prison or worse, and start behaving in ways that fit with the Spirit who is in you. And I have to tell you, the guys in my church, they really are changing their ways. There really is a new spirit taking root in them. The Holy Spirit is taking root in them, transforming them. Now, no, that transforming work isn't over, not yet. The guys, they may be shedding their old skin, but they haven't shed it completely. As one of my colleagues said recently, new birth is like any other birth. It's a long, messy, sticky, painful process. Now that's what this whole section of the letter to the Ephesians is about. It's all about out with the old and in with the new. It's all about leaving who you were behind and becoming what you are by the grace of God. That is what's going on with the guys in my church. And those of us who go inside to worship and to pray and to study with them, we get to see it happening. And we all get to celebrate it together. But there's something more here. Because as much as my church is like this church, as much as my church is like any typical church here on the outside, for all that, it's also true that this church is like my church. Now, it's tempting for us to set ourselves apart from felons. It's tempting to see ourselves as the fortunate and the blessed and the faithful, the lifelong faithful. People who aren't bedeviled the way those murderers and thieves in Ionia are. But we are not set apart that way. You see, Paul is not talking to prison inmates when he says, stop your lying and your rage and your stealing. He is not talking to prison inmates. He's talking to God's holy people, the faithful in Christ Jesus. That's how the letter begins, Ephesians 1, verse 1. And it's to those holy, faithful people, it's to the body of Christ that Paul speaks. They are the ones who have a problem with lying and with rage and with stealing and with spite and with violence. In other words, the church in Ephesus is just like my church and just like this church. Dead in sin until made alive in Christ. Dead until born all over again by water and the Spirit. Holy and faithful people, yes, but always people in process. People on our way to becoming all we're meant to be. People who still struggle with sin and temptation. People who still have a hard time controlling our tongues. People who still nurse grudges. People who are still plagued by cynicism. But here's the truth. As messed up as my church is, as messed up as this church is, and you know that better than I do, still, we are the body of Christ. We are the body of Christ. Not because we keep our room picked up, and not because we remember to recycle, but because God is merciful. Merciful enough to draw us and to welcome us to the table of his Son. This table, the table of the Lord, it's a banquet for thieves. It's a banquet for murderers and for ordinary, everyday sinners like you and me. You see, the Pharisees were right about Jesus. This guy welcomes sinners. And he eats with them. This guy welcomes sinners. And he feeds them with the bread of heaven. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Let us pray. Holy and merciful Lord Jesus, how we thank you for your amazing grace. How we thank you that your love is not for the deserving, that your love is not for the holy, that your love is not for the flawless, but your love is for broken people like us. Your love is for broken people like all those guys in the prisons, and that by your love and by your Spirit, we are indeed one new family, saved by grace, empowered to be changed and to become holy in a wonderful way. Lord, prepare us all to celebrate your faithfulness and grace on the coming Sunday, and always to remember your mercies. Amen.